Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 294 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Let's see. Andy Fitz and David Bazan, or as some people call him, Bazin, which you'll find out about here shortly, are both joining me here on this show, and we'll get into that a little bit. Where do we start with this chat with Andy and Dave? So they came over to the house just the other day, and I was very, very excited for this. A little bit nervous because it's out of my comfort zone doing, you know, chatting with two people at once. I don't normally like to do that, but when the opportunity arose to have both Andy and David on the show simultaneously, you know, I took it. Why pass something like that up, right? This episode is winding, okay? The conversation is winding. David and Andy showed up to the house the other day. How should I put this? I should put this delicately. They were, for lack of a better term, a little bit happy, into their cups. And then I proceeded to give them more, right? And it's the first part of the chat, the first part of the conversation is pretty fun and pretty loose, and then we get into a conversation, as most people do, especially with David Bazan, about religion. I don't know much about the faith. I don't know much about evangelical faith as well, and I found it fascinating talking to both Andy and David about their experiences and their philosophy behind their spirituality. And so we really get into it, man. And we get in deep on, the evangelical Christianity faith. I don't know how else to describe it. It's fascinating to me, and I hope you guys stick with it because, it's a pretty intense conversation about something I didn't know. Andy grew up in the evangelical church as well. As David. So, good stuff, man. Good stuff. And I hope you guys hang with it. Let's see. They are playing along with T.W. Walsh, who rarely plays shows, on the 21st this week. At Barboza. You know that episode last week that we dropped with oh man. We got some funny emails about last week's episode with with Steven Severin, I don't know if we're gonna have time to read any of those today, but yeah, we got some pretty interesting emails. Steven Severin, co-owner of Barboza and Numo's and many other things here in Seattle. Fantastic chat with him. If you haven't heard it yet, please go back and check it out. Go to Spreaker.com. You can type in Air-Raid into the search bar and find it there, or you can go to air-raid.net and find it there. Now, Andy Fitz and David Bazan are going to be playing along with T.W. Walsh as his band at Barboza Thursday, April 21st at 8 p.m. I highly suggest you get tickets to this show. T.W. Walsh used to play with David a lot in headphones and in Pedro the Lion. And we get into that a little bit, but it's going to be a great show. We had T.W. kind of lined up to come on the show, but we did have to cancel this week because life got in the way once again. All right. Yeah, this is going to be a show not to be missed if you are here in the Seattle area. Go to Barboza Thursday, April 21st at 8 p.m. and check out this amazing show. Andy Fitz does not play a lot of shows either, and this is one that shan't be missed by y'all, okay? All right, we got a couple of things to get out of the way here before we get in to it. Let's see. I haven't checked out our PayPal page in a really long time, and so I signed on to it just on a whim because I realized I have to change my credit card information on the PayPal thing, right? And lo and behold, we have a bunch of money sitting in there from wonderful, wonderful people who have donated to the show, and I feel like such a jackass that I didn't realize this was there. We also had some orders for some t-shirts and some posters, and I gotta say, I'm really sorry. We are all out of merch here in the backyard studios. So we have no more merch. So if you go to our website and see the merch page, we're gonna get this changed shortly. Yeah, the t-shirts and the posters are gone, folks. We are sold out of those. So thank you to the people who ordered it, Robert and Jody of Seattle, and then there was what was the third one? Christopher of Portland, Oregon. We are all out of shirts and posters. I'm very sorry, you guys, and we have sent you your refund. But I do want to have a huge, huge, huge thank you to the people who pressed the donate button at the top left-hand corner of the air-raid.net website and donated some money. First off, really like to thank Kelsey Silver, a personal friend of mine who donated from Tacoma, Washington. She donated to the show a little while ago. Jody Schwimmer of Seattle, Washington, donated to the show. A very, very nice little chunk of change for us to get some things done here in the studio. And Robert Stewart of Jacksonville, Florida, donated a tremendous sum of money to the Air Raid podcast. So thank you, Kelsey, Jody, and Robert, for your contributions. And if you would like to donate to the Air Raid podcast, you can do so by visiting our website, air-raid.net, and pressing the donate button right there at the top left-hand corner, and just giving us pitching us a few bucks, man. Big, big, big thank you to everybody who has donated, and I am very sorry that I didn't know that it happened. I think maybe I need to change my email for PayPal as well, so I start getting those, right? Yeah. Okay, and Robert Stewart from Jacksonville, Florida, he also basically just found the show and left this on our Air Raid Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/the Air Raid podcast. Let's see. Robert from Jacksonville, Florida says, "Wow, I'm so lucky. I found your podcast while thumbing through Spreaker.com looking for a music show. So much terrible stuff out there. I almost gave up, but chanced upon your show and I love it. I have a request. Please have La Luz on your show. Local band and killing the dark surf movement." Yes, they are indeed, Robert. And we did a little chatting back and forth there. We have had La Luz on the show. We had, I'm forgetting her name. How am I doing that? That's not good. We had La Luz on the show. Go to air-raid.net, the website, and you can go through the archives and find that one. I don't have the number on me right now. But thank you so much, Robert. Thank you so much for donating, and thank you for being in touch on our Facebook page, which you can do as well, once again, at facebook.com/the Air Raid podcast. And then this came in from Alexander Zimmerman, who also does a music podcast here in the Seattle area. His is called Word on the Street, or WOTS, And it's a pretty good show, man. I've been on it before. I had a ton of fun talking with Alex about a bunch of different things in the podcasting world and stuff a little while ago, so you should go and check that out. Let's see. He says right here, today, airraid.net dropped a great one with Steven Severin, owner of Numos. It gets into culture of the scene, topics such as responding to emails, low-income housing, all-ages venues, and a deep dive on Steven's backstory of becoming a venue owner and talent buyer. I recommend this one. It was a great lesson. Listen and give some great nuggets on what it's like to be a part of the Seattle music scene. Pledge taken. Thank you so much, Alexander, for sharing the episode on your social media. And he took the pledge, man, just like you guys should. Let's see, spreading the word, man. Spreading the word about the Air Raid podcast. That's what we talk about at the end of each episode, right? Take the pledge. Tell your friends about it. Spread it around. Share the episodes. And because of these weird algorithms, you know, if you see the Air Raid, post pop up on your Facebooks, you gotta like that stuff, man. You gotta like it, even if you're not gonna listen to the episode that we post on Facebook. Just like it. If you see it pop up, just like it, because then more people see it. And so, if you appreciate what we're trying to do here in the backyard, then help us out with that and spread it around. All right. Okay. Let's get into it, shall we? Let's go with our first musical break. Let's see. We're going to be featuring music from Andy Fitz, David Bazan. I always say his name wrong, so don't hold your fire. Hold your fire, Internet. We're going to be featuring music by T.W. Walsh at the end of the episode. This one's called Father Time off of Andy Fitz's album, Smoky Wilds, which came out a little while ago. It's one of my favorites, man. One of my all-time favorite albums. This one's called Father Time. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us. Son, are you ready to jump on the back of the white horse and run? Run without a saddle. Sit, Father Time. Sit, Father Time. I'm on the road again. Said Father Time. Said Father Time. I'm on the road again. Child, are you gathering bushels of hay in the bus or the bull? It'll drop hard. Baby, time to come out the woods and sow your violet oats. Goodbye to old balls and tight boots high. Said Father Time. Said Father Time. I'm on the road again. Said Father Time. So Dave, I've been modeling my attire after you, because I've noticed over the years that we've known each other,
yep,
you wear pretty much the same thing over and over.
Disgusting.
And over again.
I do.
Do you just have like a closet full of hoodies?
So now I just have two because I recently switched to a different color.
I noticed that. It's not maroon anymore.
It's not maroon.
It's been life-changing.
It has.
Now
did
it's
that
green.
For 9 years.
Yeah.
Almost 10.
Seeing the whole world different.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what was it? Was it just like, I'd say it is literally time for a change? Let's change up the color pattern?
I had been thinking about it for a while, which meant that, you know, somebody up there was wanting to make a change.
This was Jesus Christ.
No, well, no.
Yeah.
Not up there.
Like, you know what, Dave?
There.
Let's let's mix it up a little bit.
No, I just kind of thought, I kept thinking like, oh, I wonder what other color I would, if I were to, you know.
Sights on the horizon all the time.
Started having doubts, you know, about the red. Had to make a change.
So certain behaviors.
One day I was walking by American Apparel, just minding my own business, and the devil just got me. Just
drew me right in.
Drew me right into the store.
Made you change colors.
Yeah, to green. Oh my from good. Red to green.
Oh, my goodness.
Like a, that's a pretty...
He has a whole palette of colors that he'll just throw at anybody.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, man, like I've taken your idea and I've run with it myself.
Word, yeah.
I really like it because it really cuts down on your time in the morning.
You don't have to think about it.
You don't even think about it. You just put the thing on.
Yeah. Yep, it's true. And
can't get to president that way.
That's true. You can't.
Yeah, yeah. You don't.
Well, you got to be in your suit.
But you have to have a suit.
Then you do it.
Yes.
If your uniform is a suit, yeah, that's pretty good.
You should write that down.
Yeah. If I had a... I mean, I only had a pen.
Yeah.
David Bazan, Andy Fitz joining me here in the backyard. Welcome, guys.
Boom.
Where are you going?
Nowhere.
Oh, he's getting...
Oh, he's got to get his beer and his water.
Hey.
Andy just left the table. He's coming back, though. He's coming back. Two of my favorite Seattle musicians... at once, right here in the studio, man. This is a big pleasure for me. Andy, you and I have been talking about having you on the show for a long time, and then when this thing came up, you guys are playing a show with T.W. Walsh, who's coming to town on Thursday, the 21st of April, 2016, and pretty excited about that. We had T.W. lined up to come in on Thursday afternoon, and we had to cancel that, but... But it's good to have you guys here.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys have all been playing together for a really long time, right?
We have, yeah. I think Fitz and I first, we weren't actually playing together on that trip, but we were roommates on a tour where it was me playing solo and Rosie Thomas and her band, which Fitz was a part of.
Oh, okay.
We were all in the same van, and then, at night, Fitz and I would room together in the hotels and... Just rage, you know. Just,
who else was there?
Brian, Thomas, Rosie's brother, Rosie. Somebody else.
I'm going to cut this out. That's all getting cut.
Okay, so then let's really find out. Was Deuter, tall, skinny guy?
Justin Wilmore.
Justin Wilmore. Yeah.
So this was this was just tour. You guys met through bands on tour.
We had met before just in town because we both, you know, when you grow up Christian and you stay in music, even if you don't stay in Christianity, there's a certain kind of, I don't know, dog whistle you hear and you come running.
And so you just attract each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like flies.
It's like pheromones or something. Yeah. It's a stench.
Christian pheromones.
It's well, so it's fringe Christian... Lifer musician.
There
pheromones.
You go.
That's where our Venn diagram.
Oh wow.
Oh, yeah. That's where they overlap.
Yeah.
That's the vocabulary.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
It's pretty close. Yeah. If it's not exactly right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But we're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting somewhere.
Yeah. It's you kind of forget some things.
You guys,
and
you both have a very similar style of music. You definitely both have a very similar style of singing.
We do.
Like, I think I've mentioned this to you before, Dave. Like I couldn't tell which tracks you sang on.
Right.
On Andy's record.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, is still one of my favorite records, and it's available now. It's called Smoky Wilds. And
well, I'll tell you what.
You can go to andyfitz.bandcamp.com to get yourself a copy.
I sang on none of it. Which is awesome.
Oh, shit. That's the conversation we had.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, because I thought you had... And then you told me you had.
Well, we God gave us similarly endowed vocal folds or whatever.
There you go. Vocal folds. That just sounds dirty.
It does, but it's anatomically accurate speech.
Folds of skin.
Folds of skin, yeah.
Right.
Well, I think, I don't know if they're skin exactly. It's some kind of membrane or whatever, but
that's why they call them cords. They're just like these little things that hang down, right?
I wish I could climb in it sometimes.
I think that they're stretched and they kind of vibrate It does look like a vagina a little bit, I think. Well, yeah. in so much as that everything looks like a vagina to a guy.
What if you had a little tiny nano camera in there that was just constantly running on your vocal cords and so you could watch constant feedback on a screen while you're singing?
That sounds like a Matthew Barney
exhibit
or something.
It's just that there's a guy and it's like,
yeah.
I'm thinking of an animation with clay and
I'm so lost.
What do they use for materials when they do such a?
I don't think they. I've never heard of a thing.
Yeah,
I've never been involved in a conversation where I felt more left out.
So
in my own home,
what I'll say to get us back on track is that Fitz and I played in my band for a long time together. And,
which one?
I'm sure Will again. Just whatever.
It's David Bazan, B-A-Z-A-N.
You
can say it however you want.
The David Bazan band.
The David Brazen experience.
Yeah, Brazen Enterprise is Enterprises Inc.
Do you still get that Brazen
Inc.
Well, Brazen is you know the most preferred mispronunciation.
Is it really Brazen? Really?
To me, in that
that's
I
just
think
fun.
It's
try funny. It. Try it. You say it again.
Bazin. That's what
David
I mean.
David Bazan.
The funnest. So if you call me up and go, what up, Bazan? That's funner than, I don't know. It just has a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will call me Bazan, not because they don't know how to pronounce.
They just want to fuck with you.
It to my grandma's face. They just, yeah.
It's but
just,
it's also just, go back to your Spanish lessons from high school. Come on.
Right. Bathan.
Yeah.
There you go. Just there do that.
But so,
did you ever have a problem, Andy, with your last name when you were growing up as a kid?
How so?
I don't know, just Shits. Yeah, oh. Shits, Fitz.
No.
Andy's throwing a Fitz.
No, it's always just funny. It's always just funny. It doesn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We had
well, that's good.
In the tour van on a Bazan tour, Bazan band.
Bazan band. Bazan plus.
Plus band. We had a little game where you tried to think of people's full names that were complete sentences. Andy Fitz being the first one that we that kicked
was,
it off with.
Like, okay. Easiest.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Andy Fitz is a complete sentence. It not spelled the way that he spells it officially, so spelling doesn't have to be... It just has to sound the same.
Double T, baby.
Like Andy Fitz into this.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I got it.
But it could be period. It's full sentence. It doesn't have. There's no
It just needs to be a subject and a. Yeah,
it's like we need a bass player for this. Oh, Andy Fitz.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Andy Fitz.
Yeah. So yeah. With or two T's though, because if somebody's.
I think you just lost yourself.
If no,
what just happened there?
you just asked me if I had a problem with my last name, and so I'm telling you no, unless someone calls me Andy Fitz and it only has one T, because then I have a problem.
Then there's going to be, it could come to fisticuffs.
So you can kind of hear it when they say it, and then you have to ask, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, did you say that in your mind with only
wait
one
a minute,
T?
Bro.
Sir?
Are you thinking one T?
That was kind of, it was a little short on the consonant sound. I don't know how to do that.
It's a little bit of attitude. You can kind of hear it. It's subtle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's always the way the attitude works, though.
It's always subtle, right?
And I can always hear it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It's bad when it's bad.
So, Dave.
So, back to Bazan Band.
Right.
Fitz and I got to sing together a lot, and it was so easy to harmonize. I mean, our voices, the timbre was just, you know... It was just so easy to get together and stay on.
And
it only looks like it's spelled timber, like in the British way, but it's
timbre.
It's timbre.
Yeah, it's
right.
Weird.
Right.
Confusing.
Good
like Jeffrey Tambor.
Similar.
Good one.
Yeah.
Good one. You're reaching, man. You're really reaching.
Each time, it's kind of a variation on the spelling. You just got to figure out.
I just want to tell everybody that we all know each other fairly well, so. Everything's fine.
Are you worried about something?
We haven't discussed the safe word. I don't believe it. Might be a good idea before too long.
Trumpet.
Okay.
Just say trumpet and we'll cut. So, Andy, I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, but I have noticed that you don't play many live shows.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Is that because mainly because you're a family man now or what?
I just don't really feel the music, you know, like I used to.
I'm just kidding. He's lying. He has a full-time job, and I was going to school and just had a lot of stuff going on, brand new baby.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that where it's... that's all kind of all I want to be doing, but I just got other stuff.
Do you miss it, though? I mean, is it something that you wish you were doing more of?
Yeah, but it doesn't really feel like it's not a present part of my life ever. So, not really. It doesn't feel weird. It's just, I just have to look at all the priorities I have in front of me, and it's just something that I just really need to sit down sometimes and write a song. But if it's a little chunk at a time, that works too, but I end up with just this whole reservoir of material that I need a lot of time to go through.
Yeah. So, yes. Do you have that right now?
Yeah.
Like just a whole bunch of new stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I have for 3 years or something.
Really? So, since Smoky Wilds?
Yeah. That's pretty old for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I still really like it and it seems present, but...
Well, it's a fucking fantastic album.
Thanks. Great,
like, I listen to it all the time.
Yuki really helped me out a lot. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we just had a lot of good conversations about the songs and...
Sure.
You could, like, it was the first time I kind of felt comfortable in a situation where I was kind of like co-writing with somebody, even though the germ of the song was something that I started with. It was, I was vulnerable to working with it to make the best I could out of it. So,
had you never worked with anybody else to like co-write before?
Not like that. No.
So did you do that again? Or would you have
been meaning? Been meaning to ever since.
Well, Dave, what the fuck are you doing?
A lot.
Let's get this together.
To produce Andy's record?
Yeah.
I don't think it would be as good as if Yuki produced it. There might be a time in the future where Fitz and I can make a record together that would be on the same level.
Have you guys ever talked about that?
No.
Is this like new ground?
Specifically.
I mean, we've...
Let's talk about it right now.
We've been musicians this whole time, guys. And we, like, that is always something that could happen, and it just hasn't.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's always a capability, but...
Well, and the desire, I think, is always there, but...
Of course.
We're...
You're on opposite ends of the spectrum, the time and place spectrum, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's hard to allocate time for the stuff that is front burner, much less stuff that we kind of have is kind of theoretical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's totally different too for people who like, I mean, a guy like me, who I'm not as good as Andy
playing
music, but you know, whenever I have a free chance, I will come back here and just like noodle around on the guitar, you know, or like mess around with my daughter. We bought her a little electric. You guys were playing with that thing.
So good, I love it.
She does too. She still can't reach, like her hands aren't big enough to kind of reach around damn it.
No, you're good.
Reach around the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have just finished the sentence. Then it would have been fine, right? Okay, good.
Yeah, language is so loaded all the time. You know, I feel like I have these conversations constantly where somebody just doesn't get what I'm saying. And I can't actually penetrate the membrane of on the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what it feels like.
Yes.
And it's like, That hurts the most, I think, is when you're really having a disconnection with somebody and you don't know how to
maneuver around it.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what are there swim lanes?
Right.
There should be. Like, it should be a swim lane situation where it's just like vulnerability both ways. And
there's a flow of it.
I mean, achieving that as human beings is so difficult in so many ways.
Well, and constantly. You guys... Like, the people that are around right now, this generation, too, it's never been like this before, right? Like, it's like everything's so charged. It feels like everything, every word is so charged and has so much meaning behind it now. And it's making, you know, people are very sensitive about
Well, it's hard to talk about things. Reaching around without thinking about a reach around.
Well, that's true. That is true. That is a very good point.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, when you say reach around, what do you, when somebody says that, what are you picturing exactly? Is it a woman reaching from? She's behind you, and she's reaching in around.
And she's reaching around
and putting. Her what hand is she trying to
get?
Genitals?
What was she Come trying on. To get?
I mean, I'm serious. Like, what's the sexual act that people are most commonly picturing? Or is it?
Oh boy.
Or is it?
I think it's just the term. For me, it's just the term.
Just the
to
term.
Me,
it's
like
me,
I don't even know how it works.
There's a jacking like, off. I feel like involved in a reach around.
Yes,
kind
there
of
is
innately.
Masturbation.
Let's not split any
third
hairs.
Party, third party masturbation is definitely a part of it.
Yeah,
but what is the reach around aspect? Is that uniform? Is that uniform, or is it just like anytime you have to reach around anything to jack somebody off?
What if you actually? But the
like,
so here's the problem.
There might be a tree in a way.
If I reach around this mic stand right. to jack Andy off,
right?
Then that I'm reaching around this mic stand. So
you're just talking about like the parameters on how far behind you have to be, or can you be on the side and reach over?
Is there maybe a signpost? You know, like in the middle,
like you're doing a brother hug.
And later in therapy, when you're like, "Well, what about sex the other day?" And you're like, "Well, I gave you a reach around," and you're like, "Dude, that was not a reach around." You know what I mean? You'd be arguing.
Okay, you gotta stop hitting the table. You gotta stop hitting the table. Oh my
Why,
god!
It sounds like a bass drum.
No.
Oh, really?
It sounds like an 808. It's nice. I think it's still vibrating.
Oh my god! Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't think about it when
I don't either. But I was kind of curious.
It's like the term. It's
I'm
the
in
term.
I'm in the mode of thinking currently where my brain is curious about all the.
Yeah,
we live in a day and
You're
age.
You're definitely
where...
both of you are non-linear thinkers.
Oh,
as
yeah.
of right now.
Yeah. No, in general.
In general.
No. If you no, come on.
Are people that are obsessed with pornography? They're pornographers, right? Or are they?
No, the people who make the people who make it are pornographers.
That's what I thought. So what are the people that are addicted to pornography?
Well, they start as pornographophiles, I think.
Oh.
And then they make...
Is that true?
No,
that's
I have
not
idea.
True.
That sounds good.
That's not true. What the hell?
I was trying to think of those, like, record titles.
Where did this go? So...
Well, we're just having a... Like, we're just letting the spirit flow. Come on.
Having a jamboree.
Apparently. Oh, my God. Oh my God!
What's the structure of this show, Aaron?
Well, it's. I think that doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, jeez, I think it
right
broke
now.
His chair.
We can always
it's
do
not
that.
Broken.
That's easy to.
You're good.
That's easy
You're
to
good.
Jump into.
Yeah. Right.
Well, so backing up to Smokey Wilds, you know, Andy made that record while we were all still playing the Basin Band tours and stuff together over a year or so, and it's the sort of thing that it was natural that he and I might work on something, but. When you're in that touring situation, you're together so much, and if you can break off a piece and sort of do it with somebody else outside the group, then you can still maintain like hangouts that are non-work related. Kind
sure.
of. Because at
sure.
a certain point, we were doing so much touring that it was like a job, like it was work.
Yeah.
And that we had a certain amount of rehearsing that we needed to do and then certain amount of days on the road every year.
Yeah, and I tried to work at a, you know, a restaurant or something like that or do photography or video stuff when I was at home.
And so when it came time for him to make the record, Yuki was interested in doing it and then once they started, it became clear that it was going to be great. And so I think it's just really naturally the way that it went, and I can only imagine that it'd be cool to have that happen again.
Oh yeah, for sure. I can't wait to hear some of the new stuff, man. Is it in the plans? Are you working on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, I've just been basically just doing some transitions with how I make a living, and I've had some education recently, and I'm basically kind of getting a local situation where I have a committed position somewhere, and I'm kind of I got a work a day thing happening.
Yeah.
To the extent that I can also be a little bit more open to figuring out which nights of the week work best to do certain things, and just have a little bit of anxiety removed from the equation of feeling a sense of confidence when you're not doing a different thing that you would rather be doing or something.
Sure. No, I totally get that. And like, I'm the type of person that would never be able to quit my job and just do this. You know, sure. Like it would fill me with so much anxiety just to start even entertaining the thought.
Uh-huh.
Like it would kill me. It would absolutely kill me. Are you
what would you miss doing, or what would you not?
Well, there's just nothing I would miss doing. Just a lack of stability, lack of knowing.
Oh, okay.
You know, like is that
yeah,
kind of what you're
yeah,
what
that's
you're
what I'm talking about.
Talking about?
Yeah. Like, it's been that way for me for years. Like, it's always been that way for me.
Uh-huh.
Like, the times that I'm not doing music and making some income from that.
Right.
Yeah. It's always kind of, what am I doing in between?
Sure.
How am I trying to make ends meet
for seasons?
Then you
throw a kid
seasons?
into the mix, too, and then it's, like, even more added stress. Mm. You know? Like trying to you know, feed mouths with your
heart.
Yeah,
it's more stress, but it's also just so much more, it's more responsibility in general.
Well, yeah.
And there's just more, there's more ground that I need to protect for, or just nurture. And yeah, with, I mean, my kid is so amazing. He's, I want to be around him all the time.
Sure,
so.
Sure. So how old, like, is he now?
18 months.
18 months.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It seems like when the kids came that you just, outside of having kids, you have these kind of bandwidth gaps every now and again where you just have bandwidth to spare, and you can kind of
devote
things to shit. Maybe not that often, but, you know.
Well, once they start getting older, it gets easier to do that.
You get
kind
back
of stuff.
To that.
Oh, yeah.
But once
they
come, those little gaps or those little holes where you can kind of allocate it however you want just are way fewer and further between.
Yeah.
How old is your eldest,
Dave? She's 11.
11?
Yeah.
Okay. 11, so you were out of Pedro. Pedro the Lion was done, over and done with, almost.
It was the last year of Pedro the Lion, in the last 13 months
of the
band she was born.
So was that a stress for you? Like, were you afraid that that you weren't going to be able to provide or you know, be able to, you know?
Haven't had that. There's something missing in my brain, and that's part of it.
Really?
So
you don't worry about that kind of stuff?
Well, I wouldn't say I don't worry, because I do the normal amount of worry, but the premise itself doesn't fill me with fear. I feel more in control than I would if I was working for somebody, depending on who the somebody was. But because, man, things change so much, and I know that I'm subject to that too, but especially once house shows became more of a regular thing.
Well, and that was out of necessity to make it.
I just stopped. Now I just have enough work, and I have to be very careful, because it's easy to just say yes to too many hours, if you
right,
will.
Right.
And at the expense of, you know, my kids and my wife, because
Well, you just got off of, how many dates did you just do? You just got off of this West Coast tour, right?
It was just 10. I mean.
Oh, it was just 10?
At this point, you know, for a few years, I was doing basically 190 days a year on the road. Not 190 shows. It might have been 150 shows. But, like, if you take one day a week off on big tours and all that kind of stuff and fly dates back and forth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was just talking to Reverend Horton Heat about this.
Yeah.
And you know, he's kind of in the same boat. They do, I think, what did he say? I think 150 a year or something like that, dates a year. You factor, I never thought about that until you just said it. Like, you have to factor in, like, all the road time.
It's like another, it's another 15% at least.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane.
And so now I'm back to, I think I'm down to about 100 and maybe this year. Well, this year will be different, but last year I think it might have been 135 and 140. So I'm ratcheting it back.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, so it's, I am really lucky. I've worked really hard. I've been given certain sort of opportunities, or timing has been good.
And you've made a lot of really great records.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks a lot. I feel like I have this job if I want it and if I work really hard at it.
It's
not in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Unless, I just don't think it is. I mean,
well, I was wondering, like, because, I mean, there's a bit of a discrepancy there, because you have been successful.
I have, yeah.
And
10, plus years ago.
Yeah.
We had a big record.
Yeah. Yeah. That's still big.
Yeah.
It's big in my life. I still listen to it.
I appreciate that.
I love that record.
Most people do, I think.
I can never tire of it.
Yeah, I appreciate
and,
that.
But it's disgusting.
You know what that record needs more of, though?
What's that?
Reach arounds. Let's go to our second musical break.
There you go. It's got a couple of reach arounds.
Does it?
I think. Probably. In my mind. Yeah.
I thought it was going to get a way better reaction from you guys.
So she ripped his dick off and threw it in the tall grass.
Let me tell you that. I understood that moment from the
second that I started it.
From the front seat of my car, listening to it and hearing the cut where you're going to put it, A+. Enjoyed it. Sorry, I don't give big reactions all the time.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Lame.
You got to use that sound for the cut.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's go with our second musical break. We're going to feature this song that you've released already. What is it?
Trouble with Boys.
It's off the new Bazin album.
New Bazin.
Called Blanco. And this comes out when?
May 13th.
May 13th. Okay. Cool, man.
You might think it's about a girl, but it's not.
Trouble with Boys by David Bazan. And we'll be back in just a moment. More of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Still, you really don't know.
Question why, man.
Why?
Question why. I can't. I just can't. Oh,
it's hard not to take it personally sometimes.
It is. It really is,
just like,
man.
Listen, you little asshole.
Look it up.
Just shut up. Stop asking. Yeah. You're not there yet.
No,
but
it's just poor
coming.
K. Poor K. That's the only way he knows how to describe it.
Why? Because it's ludicrous. You can't get pregnant without having intercourse. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. But it's a miracle. No.
It's science.
But God did it.
So Dave, you said earlier that that you guys were kind of attracted to each other through
sexual pheromones.
I was going to say Christian pheromones.
It was a lot of drunkenness.
And your musical abilities, but I did not know that. I didn't know you were a God-fearing man. Or are you?
Oh.
Are you away from that, or are you still in it?
What are you asking if I'm still in?
Are you still
he's away from it.
Religious person.
He's being
an asshole.
I'm being obfuscating.
Is that something you don't want to talk about?
Oh, no, it's fine.
Your faith?
Yeah. Your past faith? I mean, I have strong feelings about that stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's get into it a little bit.
Okay,
like,
sure.
I would consider myself an agnostic. Like, I don't know what the hell.
I think that's probably how we'd all define ourselves if we were to be asked what's your religion or something.
Seems fair to me.
Yeah?
Agnostic, like, if I must.
Yeah, right.
Were you ever at a point in your life, what was your denomination?
I don't feel like I was really
evangelical or what?
I guess that's what people might call it, but that's maybe the category. But kind of, you know, charismatic, definitely. Uh-huh. Into the gifts of the spirit and
speaking in tongues.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Same. And when I was a kid, yeah. Till
I think I knew that about you.
Yeah, the denomination that I grew up in, I went to all through high school, and then I went to a college of that denomination too.
Do you ever get tired of talking about this kind of stuff?
Not really.
It seems like most interviews that you do, this comes up.
Well,
he's willing to talk about it mostly, right?
And I certainly started it by writing about it so frequently over the years, but also. Yeah. I don't know. I find it fascinating. I'm sure there's some times I would turn on the radio and there'd be somebody talking about something that they find fascinating that I don't give two shits about. Yeah. And that might be the case here, but yeah, I like it.
Well, it's the you know, pardon being, you know, cliche, but it's the eternal question.
It's like we were talking earlier about older people that are in our lives who suddenly don't remember certain things.
This is off mic, yes.
Right.
Yeah, but that's just a regular thing, is like, my grandparents both are, I don't know, I hate to say it, not that sharp all the time about everything, and that's okay.
Yeah.
They're getting old, and other old people are in that situation, and in some cases just don't even have their mind at all, so it's not a criticism, but... Right.
Yeah, sure.
Because they're both really charismatic and happy, and they're just amazing. They are kind of eternal in a way, because they're like avatars of a type of person or something.
Sure.
But
would you like, when you were younger, and you were
you asking
kind of
both of us?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. When you guys were younger. And you were more involved with the faith, right? With the evangelical church.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever somebody says evangelical to me, this is an aside, by the way. Whenever somebody says evangelical to me, because I was never raised, you know, in any faith.
Right.
My dad was the type of guy, and I've told you this before, said it on this show many times. My dad was the type of guy that would like turn on Jimmy Swaggart on a Sunday, and he would sit me down in front of the TV and say, "You see this, Aaron? This guy's a fucking liar."
Yeah. Oh,
and he would say that. He would say that even as a kid.
Yeah,
he would say the F word.
Wow,
because he would get so worked up about you know, being atheist.
He was right about Swaggart.
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah, he totally was. But
fucking liar.
You know, he was that type of guy. He was very, very anti-religion.
Yeah,
and I think it was because he had become involved with like a cult back when he was, you know, early 20s, late teens.
Oh.
And,
like he started following some leader who decided that they were a prophet.
Yeah. And I don't know the full story on it. I really need to talk to him about it because I find it fascinating.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
But yeah, I think he, you know, he saw what was happening, like woke up one day and saw what was actually happening, and then was like, I am never getting involved with anything close to this ever again. But when you guys were, so back to my original question, when you guys were young, would you, Like, what's the deal with evangelical? Because when somebody says that to me, it like conjures up these images of people being very, very, very heavily invested in the faith, and very, you know, for lack of a better term, judgmental on other people that are not within it.
Well, the way that I experienced it, there was a component to, and I think it's probably true for all evangelicalism to a certain degree, which generally I think is defined as, you know, sort of like the Protestant church at large, but excluding the older mainline denominations. Like, okay. I think that Methodist can kind of be in or out, or, you know, that the older, more liberal sort of, to me...
Would Lutheran be in there?
It just... Maybe yes, but also it just depends.
It could be pretty old-fashioned, too, where there's a lot of, like, scriptures you're reading together and stuff.
I think it has to do with, I guess for lack of a better word, how liberal a church is. A church can liberal itself out of evangelicalism if they kind of don't take the Bible literally. I think that literal, inerrant Bible is an evangelical Christian sort of notion.
Okay.
It's main feature in,
gotcha,
in my understanding.
See, that's good to know, because it's never been explained to me that way. So that makes way more sense.
And so just, you know, your normal church, if somebody says, well, it's not really denominational, it's blah, 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 that means it's evangelical Christianity.
Okay.
It's the main brand of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they're using an NIV or King James or something like that. They're not reading out of a hymnal necessarily.
NIV, what's NIV?
What's it called? Interpretation of the Bible? It's a different word. But anyways, it's a... What is the word? It's a version of the Bible that...
Like, there's the King James Version.
Yeah.
Okay.
And New International, when they went through... Basically, when they go to translate... It's a translation. When they go to translate the Bible, they have sort of some style points that they're trying to hit. There's a certain perspective that kind of tends to be amplified because style points. And so NIV is kind of the blandest... version of scripture.
It's all just a matter of the people that are a part of that process are perceiving.
It is the sort of one of the kind of safe versions that would be widely used. The way that King James used to be the standard for a while, it feels like NIV.
That was like the one that you would see in hotel rooms. Like,
yeah, and there are older folks who insist that the King James version is like... That, I mean, I feel like the way they think is that God, like, made it appear in the woods. And that they feel like it's more than the original Greek and more than the original Hebrew, that the King James is God's word incarnate.
See, like, that kind of shit is bananas. Like, come on.
It's so funny.
It's really funny.
Yeah, yeah. But you guys believed that when you were kids, right?
No, I saw through some of that stuff where people were arguing about versions of the Bible. I just saw, like profoundly institutional thinking, just like tribal bullshit, you know, as a kid, just being like, that's petty. It's what's your problem?
Like, what were your parents like? I mean, were they kind of the same way?
Well, yeah. So I got really lucky. My mom and dad, they are just pretty reasonable folks who I probably wouldn't be Christian at all if it wasn't for their, I wouldn't have been for any length of time. If it hadn't been for their example, kind of, they just sort of modeled this almost like a pure version of Christianity. I mean, we were all pretty dysfunctional, but in terms of how they interacted with... My dad was a pastor, and the way that he treated the congregation, he was a music pastor. It was just... I just saw somebody who was passionate about helping people in whatever way that they needed, and I saw it... Uh-huh. All throughout my life, over and over again. So, I saw an example of somebody who I thought, "Yeah, that's
who was using faith the right way."
Well, they really stand up for underdogs in a lot of cases, too.
Yeah, and my folks were. Yeah, that was kind of their thing. And so, you know, it's just more of a work ethic than it has to do with spirituality, or it just has to do with empathy. You know, this is, but I just saw an example of it that was, you know, kind of legit, and then it took me for me, it took me till I was 29 before the bottom kind of fell out of the theological or the logical kind of narrative aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people will often think like, oh, well, you know, well, the church is pretty fucked up. I can see why you left.
Right.
And it's like, nope, the church was always fucked up. Yeah. I just stopped believing the actual story.
Right,
right, right. Right.
Was that the same assumption that you've had a bad experience or...
Well, yeah, I mean, you've had a series of bad experiences, but also really your favorite experiences of your life. You know, all my childhood was so fun. Right. I love 99% of the people that I grew up with. And it was great. Yeah. It was great. Mm-hmm. And so, people wrongly think that... Well, I think...
That you've been screwed over by some church.
Yeah.
Like that you got alienated from a church because of some personal stuff that happened, right, or something like that. The assumption is that you're a victim of like a bad theology or something. Or,
yeah. But that, I mean, that does happen.
It does.
Like even in, because we've, you know, on this show, we've been doing it for 6 years. This is going to be episode like, what, 290 something. And I've had this conversation with countless times with other musicians and mm-hmm. comedians and writers and directors and stuff. And, you know, the experience is different for everybody. And
agreed.
I would say, actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back. I was going to say a majority of it was bad personal experiences, but sure. I'm going to make a distinction, though,
in what I'm saying that overall, yeah, it was a bad experience because you're not a Christian anymore. So you could make that connection.
Right, right.
But I'm talking about...
Is that
like
a bad thing, though? I mean, it's bad for your family, I guess, family relations or something, or what?
Well, I'd like to say that, to me, the bad behavior of specific Christians is not a great reason to not believe in a thing.
No. You know? No.
That's what I was trying to say.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is people being forced into believing something or trying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people trying to force something on you, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah. That's not a good place
Whether it be religion, whether it be, you know, school, some sort of school of thought.
Right.
It's not a good thing.
Well,
right?
what was interesting about my experience with one of the interesting things, I think, is that I grew up hearing about these door-to-door, like, well, what at my old church, we used to go door-to-door every Saturday and just tell people about Jesus. And it was always, as we moved around in the middle years, like junior high, early high school, I kept on missing that. Mm-hmm. Those outings, like I never ever had to go door to door do anything, but whenever I would hear about it, I would just think, that's the worst thing I've ever heard of. Why? That it's so unnatural.
Yeah.
What else is anybody doing that about? Like,
right, right.
You know, life-saving medicine?
That's evangelical.
No. So that's extreme. I mean, that's what I feel like, that evangelicals who are actually kind of following through with sort of the logic of the of the thinking, that they're mm-hmm. doing that, you know?
Yeah.
But that was never a feature of, so I never experienced that, and there was never, or very rarely, any like pushiness.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that I experienced because I was already I'm a pastor's kid, you know.
Right.
But even with my buddies and stuff, occasionally there was one ski trip where I kind of talked my buddy into accepting Jesus into his heart, and I felt horrible afterward. I just thought, that's. Yeah, it just was like, that didn't feel
I'm
right.
Sorry, that's, I'm laughing no, at that, but that's...
It's so like, interesting.
The irony
felt like
is
rape, you know?
Yeah. It's funny, the only time that I've ever done that, I felt exactly the same way too. And it's maybe only been one time that I can remember, maybe twice. But in each case, I felt like I was doing it to basically fulfill my assignment.
You fulfill something in you, not in the other person. You weren't doing
like,
it
I just,
for...
Like, for example, I would talk to homeless people.
Right.
And we were doing homeless evangelism.
Okay.
So the whole notion is that you're going down to talk to homeless people and share Jesus with them.
Try to get them to say the sinner's prayer.
Yeah, or something. And then what? You know, but I'm just saying, in every case, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I just talked to them.
Yeah.
And that felt like radical Christianity or something.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a good... I like what you said there. Like you felt like it wasn't it wasn't for the other person. You were trying to fulfill something within yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And that's I think that's the rub, right? Hmm. Like that's what most people have problems with is that, no, you're not doing this to save my soul. You're doing it for some, you're doing it to make yourself feel better about yourself.
But there's a whole, I mean, there's tons of layers to it. One of them is that the misconception that asking Jesus into your heart is something magical beyond maybe saving your soul from hell. It's not a, I mean, having been around it a lot, you get this kind of thing growing up evangelical. Things are going wrong in whatever sphere of your life. You'll get somebody who is kind of way up the chain in the authority department in your life saying, you know what, bud? You just need to put Jesus at the center of that.
Right.
You know, that's the problem.
That's the way to fix it.
Yeah, you know? And it's like, you know what, man? Actually just doing a good job at this thing and, like, doing the research and making sure that I'm my due diligence, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's going to do a good job.
Well, and also the idea that
of, like, or going to the doctor.
If you're talking about saving me from hell, word, I'll ask Jesus into my heart. I'm not doing that. I'm not scared of hell. But in terms of just, like, how your life's going to get better, you know, these homeless guys asking Jesus into their heart, I mean, if there's an example of one, I'd love to read about it, but, like, it's not going to turn their shit around.
Well, the only way it would is if they were actually embraced into this community that had its own economy.
Even then, so many things have to go right when they are, when gravity is pulling them wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so those are the things to focus on. So another thing about evangelical Christianity that I experienced is that there was a really intense focus on making your faith your own, like a personal faith,
okay,
like a personal relationship. Specifically, that's the language with Jesus.
Billy Graham shit.
Yeah, Billy Graham kind of made that popular, but it.
So really, having like a conversation, a one-on-one conversation.
Praise in your heart. Ceasing. Yeah, that you know he's always with you, so just kind of keep it open.
Yeah, you got J and your H, right?
Yeah, J and your H. So. But one of the things,
I love you so much.
There's an aspect of fidelity that was so key that, like, you know, we would look at Catholics and say, well, they're just going through the motions where we are sort of implementing all of these, you know, things or sort of.
Like we have the torch.
Absorbing. Everything was just fully integrated, that was what you were trying to do, that you were living your faith. And that everything was either, like, you know, in college, it was a pretty progressive notion for me that everything was either sin or it was worship. And it had to do with your kind of attitude. And so this is the way that I understood Christianity was that if it was working and if you were devoted, that it would sort of seep down into every aspect of your being. And that it would define kind of who you are as a person. And so that was the goal.
And that your results in life, if they're good, are because of God.
Yeah.
And
but if they're bad, it's because of you. It's
or the devil or your fallen nature.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, in some cases too, just like people that see God in all of it, they don't look at suffering as being like God's doing necessarily, but also not necessarily the devil's either or Satan's. So there's this like gray area.
Well,
with
I mean,
suffering.
So it gets kind of imprecise at a certain point because it's just cultural sort of you know, norms and dynamics and developments. But, so that growing up in that was interesting and
well, it's a lot of heavy shit to lay on a kid.
It truly is. Yeah. No. It really, really is. Yeah. It made me pretty serious pretty quick. I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
obviously
I'm a joker, but there was a really kind of deep, serious side that emerged by the time I was probably five.
You know? Now, how do you handle that with your own children?
We just talk about it whenever it comes up. Usually one of the tricks that I've used is that if a controversial topic comes up, usually...
You burn them with a cigarette?
No, there's representative there's representatives of all of the various views in our family or extended sort of friend circle.
Yeah.
So we'll just go through and say, Grandma and Grandpa, this is what they think. Grandma and Papa, this is what they think. Mom and Dad, here.
And you're open about it.
Yeah, that all of these people that we love and respect have a different opinion about these things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's where that's where we start.
I mean, yeah. if you were going to drill deep with anybody on what a particular religion worldview is, they're all going to have some pretty pronounced differences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can have this sort of big picture idea that all these people are in one team, all these people are on another team. It's almost like there's the trinity of Catholicism. There's like, what do you call it if there's four? Not a trinity,
quadrinity.
Yes, whatever.
It's just a square.
So yeah, it's like, hey, evangelicals, if you were to add another god to the trinity,
yeah,
what do you want it to be called? You know.
Yeah.
So
what do you think it would be
so,
called?
So Aaron? I think it would be called Aaron. Kind of what we were talking about earlier. There's like the Catholic Church, and then there's the, you know. Well, I think the way it's been categorized this way from an evangelical standpoint is that it's Islam as is one religion.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church is another religion.
Uh-huh. Distinct from evangelical Christianity.
Right, right.
And Judaism is another religion.
Yeah.
Those people, not Islam, but the Jewish people and the Catholics are kind of on the right track, or you're on their team when it looks good to be on their team, and then you're not on their team when it comes down to it.
But you're praying for their salvation all the time.
Yeah, so evangelical, it's true. So evangelical Christianity is
this
a
shit
tier.
At certain points, this shit really gets confusing.
Evangelical Christianity is coming from an evangelical standpoint because they're on a tier above those perspectives on God.
Okay.
Well, and to be fair, you know, there are better versions of evangelical Christianity that are practiced by entire churches, entire congregations, you know, and so, some of the smallest thinking that you could find in the world outside of a KKK meeting is in, you know, congregational church.
Oh yeah.
Can we move on to like a segue?
Sure.
Which
you got a segue?
Yeah, I do. And it's the connection that I feel between certain sects of evangelical Christianity, mm-hmm. if you call it, however you want to call it, each church itself has a completely different, slightly different perspective on all this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, the culture
know?
Is really different from Baptist to you know, charismatic churches like Pentecostals.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. And then Presbyterians, you know, that's where I ended up on kind of my way out.
Right.
But it's a much more cerebral and something I would have probably enjoyed a lot more growing up. Or it's more suited to the way my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Pentecostalism was a lot of emotional kind of ploys. And it was just a lot of playing on your emotions, really.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works, right?
I was thinking of the connection between...
That's how a con works.
Yeah. Well,
it doesn't have to be a con.
As my dad would say.
Yeah. Well, and that's the rub. Like, I have friends, my manager, Bob, he sort of is of the mind that all preachers are crooks. And I've known a lot of preachers, and I still know preachers who they really are devoting their lives to service for other people. Now, it's my opinion that that's not the majority of pastors,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately,
yeah,
that there are all kind of other cultural reasons to kind of go into
it
that.
It almost comes down to like an individual's personality and intellectual, the way that they think and perceive and how they lead people that are following them.
Yeah, and what kind of leeway they have theologically, too. I mean, sometimes there's enough gray area in one's theology where you can be appropriately open-hearted about the world and about everything, and you don't have to kind of recoil and fear at every little thing. Because,
like a Pixar movie.
Do you think
exactly? Or a Harry Potter book or something?
Yeah,
like
there
this,
you go.
You know what I'm saying?
So, do you guys think you're there?
Have you
reached that point?
Which point?
Where you're open enough to where you're just like, you go with it. In your faith.
Speaking for myself.
Or is it always a struggle?
No. There's no more struggle. No, because
I don't have any struggle about it.
The only conflict comes when other people have a problem, you know,
sure.
with it. But
sure.
No, I mean, I just, you know, what is there. And I, you know, I've got some things that I need to focus my attention on a little bit more, temporarily, I guess they would say.
Yeah.
I got kids, I got a mm-hmm. wife, got a mortgage.
You got a new album coming out.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's just, it's not the business of life, but it is just really like.
Sure.
I don't know. I put a lot of stock in sort of searching the stars for the answers to some of these questions.
When you grow up and you're a little kid and you're learning about this is reality, and this becomes the textbook for your emotional maturity and your spiritual maturity and all this stuff, if you're getting to that point, like he was saying, at 5 years old is feeling like you have this already idea of the cosmos, or, you know, God created all of this. And so when you grow up with that and you're a little kid, by the time you're in your 30s, you're still having all these questions about what reality is. And so that's a topic of conversation that's valuable to you.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Well, and it's easy to feel. I mean, I remember it's not that long ago, really, that talk about evolution still offended me,
right.
even though I knew that what I believed was that the creation account in the Bible is not literal or representative of mm-hmm. what I perceive reality to be in mm-hmm. any way.
Yeah.
And yet because I grew up in this thing, I was sort of bred, or it was sort of baked in.
It was almost like a Pavlovian kind of reaction. Well,
that's exactly what it was.
To
yeah.
Hearing somebody, you know.
Yeah, when people would start in, like, especially yeah. if it was like a specifically like sort of an anti intelligent design thing, mm-hmm. which I don't subscribe to intelligent mm-hmm. design, but I would hear, well, like kind of witty and a little bit barbed sort of critiques of it, and I would
sure.
feel the okay, chemicals yeah. would release in my body that were the chemicals that happen when I'm offended, you know,
right.
And
right,
I'm
right.
sitting there with this feeling like, whoa, what is going on, you know? Well, and so it's just socialization taking time, or, you know, that's my perception. Somebody would say, your heart knows the truth, man, and it was telling you the truth, and you just need yeah. to listen to your heart,
you well know? And you see it every day too, like people are still struggling with this. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's like you guys I would say you guys and some of the other people that we know that grew up very, very, you know, on the
religious,
yeah. Made it out, you know, to a good place. Not made it out of like the religion, or made it out of, you know, being a Christian. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is made it to a good spot.
Yeah,
like mm-hmm. they're right. comfortable with where they're at now, and a lot of people are not.
For me, the one of the things that has taken a long time to realize is that out of Christianity isn't what I was attempting to do, because
right.
there's so many ways in which I'm not out of it. A, yeah. I'm talking about it with everybody all exactly. the time.
Sure.
B, I'm still roughly in the same social circles that I am. I really can't think of anybody who I'm no longer friends with because I stopped being Christian.
Yeah, and it's not like you're, I'm just trying to make some non-Christian friends right now. You know? It's like, I've never heard that. That's not how it feels to me.
Right, I like that. Yeah. What was I saying before that?
I'm sorry, dude.
No. It's, believe me, it's not you.
Yeah.
Wait, before what?
Before just right then.
Oh, you were saying that, you know, you weren't out to not make non-Christian friends.
Or no, he was right. saying he wasn't trying to be to be out of Christianity wasn't his goal.
Oh yeah, that was what it was. That being out of it, I wanted to be allowed to believe what I believed. I guess
sure.
that's what
yeah.
it was. That I had, as I was sort of, you're constantly collecting data about the world via your religious tradition, but everything else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And your brain is trying to sort of develop a model of the world. Why are things the way that they are? Yeah. What are the big dynamics at play? And that's where religion can be really helpful, is to yeah. help assign, give people a way to start having that conversation and think about it. Yeah. And I think it's at its best when it's seen as something that is not a static set of things, but like, check out these narratives. There's some principles at work there. They don't just describe what they are verbatim. You have to tease them out. But so I wanted to just be allowed to believe what I believe. I feel like you develop a picture of the world and it, certain explanations just ring true.
Sure.
Somebody says, well, here's how I think the world really works. And then they say it and you either go ding or you don't go ding.
Yeah.
If you got three or four dings, you got to kind of work it out. But like,
yeah, everyone's got a different ding.
Everyone's got a different ding. That's just fundamental. But there was just a sense in which, well, I've forgotten again.
Well, you know what we got to do?
You're saying it's just like
we're running really low on time, and I do want to talk a little bit about T.W. Walsh. So we're gonna just we're gonna just switch gears here.
Can I finish that thought?
Yeah. Finish your thought.
So why did I think
all the different? You're saying there's like it goes ding.
Oh, right.
It does for some people.
And so I wanted to be allowed to just like evaluate the data and come to the conclusions that I come to, and not have to toe some party line or feel some weird tension about that. And so in the wake of all of the changes that I've made sort of theologically or philosophically, once all the defensiveness went away and once I was sort of more comfortable with where I was, then I realized, oh, I liked where I was in so many ways. I'm not trying to go to church every Sunday, but like culturally, I don't really need a big shift. You know, carved out so like I'm not trying to get away from Christianity or move closer to it. I just want to evaluate the world honestly the way that I think about it and not be penalized socially for in those close circles. And so, and I think that that's just a healthy thing to do. And now that I've been allowed to engage in that process, the reason why I feel peace and there's not a struggle is because there's an element of surrender to like, okay, there is a reality.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just surrender to what
not knowing.
I mean, that's
really what you have to do is you have to surrender with not being able to know. Yeah, and that like, you know, that can affect every aspect of your life.
It's brought me a lot of peace personally.
I mean, that's something that I struggle with non-religiously.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're not going to fucking figure this out.
Yeah. And you can, and
either seek help for this problem that you need help with, or just like building the deck.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, I'm building this deck and I'm trying to figure out like, you know, where do I need to put a double joist?
Yep.
You know, and there's
facts about that job that you are going to glean over time. And that's what life is.
And stuff that I'm not going to know, and I'm going to have to look it up on YouTube.
You are.
Yeah, and there you go.
And there's just a lot less mystery, I think, than people want to sort of focus on the mystery, and I think like, yeah, but you're an asshole, so just start there, you know? Quit being an asshole. That's not mysterious, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
You think, you know, what you think, and so.
Yeah. All right, so this show with T.W. Walsh. T.W. Walsh, by the way, used to play with you, Dave.
Yes, he did.
Pedro the Lion and Headphones?
He did, yep.
Right?
I met Walsh in 99. He sent a demo in to Made in Mexico Records, which was the label who...
You know who I just... Fucking... I am really, really close friends with Tuna.
Sure.
And I had no idea that she started that label.
Well, so she didn't start that label.
Oh, she
but
didn't
they
start it?
Took it over her and Audra. And Damien, I think, was involved too.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but that was a guy called James Morelos, who used to be... I think his... He worked at Tooth & Nail, maybe as like A&R in the 90s, and then quit Tooth & Nail to start Made in Mexico Records to put out Pedro the Lions, It's Hard to Find a Friend.
Gotcha.
So then Walsh heard that record, sent a demo tape to James Morelos, and James really liked it.
Yeah.
So he started the wheels in motion to release a Walsh record.
Yeah.
Putting the Days to Bed is the record that ended up getting released.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Which you can find on twwalsh.com, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's good stuff, man.
It's a great record, and that's the first thing I heard, and I fell in love with it right away.
Yeah.
And then we met. He flew out for a show and to meet James and to meet me and his wife, Tanya, in December of 99, and then a couple months later, we were in a van together. I had hired him to play bass in Pedro the Lion.
Is that how you met him too, Andy?
Well, I actually was, I started listening to his music. I found out that it was released, and I was at the time I was living in Europe. Uh-huh. And this was in 99 or 2000. I was a huge, really into it. I really, really liked his music from the very beginning. So I've always been familiar with him, and then met him through Dave.
Yeah. Well, I'm really bummed that I had to cancel our little meet session with him.
If you do phoners, he'd be worthy.
We're gonna set something like that up. Yeah. So that I'm looking forward to that. But his new album is fantastic. It's available just, now.
Yeah. I mean, and it's amazing, and it's all great, like all of it.
And it really can't. I mean, so the three of us. I mean, we're talking about T.W. Walsh and Fitz, and I are sitting here, and uh-huh. Walsh and Fitz and I have all three made records with Yuki.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Blanco, the record of mine that's coming out May 13th, I made with Yuki.
Yeah.
And this Walsh record Yuki made, and the fifth record Yuki made. And
if
you're into the production style on any one of the three records, you'll really like them all.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yuki's touch on these is phenomenal.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to the show, guys. Are you guys looking forward to it as well?
No. Nope. No. I think I might kill myself before the show.
Yeah.
I've been feeling really down.
That's not the... I have
was that
too.
Just the dumbest question?
No, it wasn't.
No.
I was just being like, a dick.
Okay, yeah. Good. No, I mean, I know that about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that widely known? Is that my rep?
Pretty much.
I think it's mine.
Yeah.
Is it?
That's why Matt Beatty is here right now. He was like, oh, yeah, I wanted to come over and meet Dave. I heard he's a huge dick.
He does not have a huge dick, no.
Well, thank you guys. Oh, man.
I don't think women like me very much.
And good night.
You guys, it has been an absolute honor having you in the backyard. Thank you so much for coming.
Get on. You,
what was it like having us?
It was interesting. It's a fascinating conversation about evangelical Christianity.
I like fascinating better than interesting.
Interesting. Thanks, is something you say to somebody who's talking about something you don't want to listen to.
That's so interesting, Fitz.
Thanks, you guys. Oh, man. Oh, my God. I'm just like powering through, like editing down this episode because it was very long, and so we had to take a couple things out there. But whoa, man, that was so much fun. That was so much fun. And big thanks to Matt Beatty of the bands Cataldo and Ruler for stopping by and just hanging out while we did our chat. It was a lot of fun to see him, and he took some photos of it. You should definitely check out his band, Ruler. New stuff coming from him soonish. And also new stuff coming from Cataldo, is from what I hear. So big things coming from Matt Beatty. And thank you, Matt, if you're listening to this, for stopping by. It was good to see you. David Bazan, Andy Fitz, and T.W. Walsh playing Thursday, April 21st, here in Seattle at 8 p.m. at Barboza. Go and get a ticket to this show because you do not want to miss it. We're going to go out today with a song off of T.W. Walsh's new album. And let's see here. I haven't even picked one yet. New album's called Fruitless Research, and it's out now. You can find it at twwalsh.bandcamp.com. And it's some really amazing, amazing stuff. So we'll give you a little snippet of it here. In just a moment. Big thanks to those who donated to the show as well. Thank you, guys, and thanks for listening this week. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. It only takes a couple seconds to give us a little star rating there. 5 stars preferred, but really helps us out in the long run. We are also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Cairo Radio, and now the Spreaker apps. Or just visit air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed using your podcatcher. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast. And follow us on Twitter, at AirRaidNet, or you can email me, like a lot of you did this last week about the episode with Steven Severin. You can email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge like Alex Zimmerman did, and spread the good word of Air Raid, man. You know, tell your friends, your mother, your sister, your brother. We'll even take your cousins and sign them up for Air Raid. Subscribe them to the podcast while they're not looking, right? That helps us out. Bring it up in conversation. It's good stuff to talk about, man, especially this episode. You're learning a lot about evangelical Christianity, right? All right, we're going to go out today with a song off of Fruitless Research. I'm going to go random on this. I don't know what song we're going to play, but this is T.W. Walsh playing Barboza, April 21st, here in Seattle, okay? So do that. Thank you guys for listening so much, so much. It was an absolute pleasure this week. Absolute pleasure. Got big things coming up for next week. Don't want to jinx it, so I'm not going to say anything. This is T.W. Walsh off the new album Fruitless Research, and we'll see you next week with an all-new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one.